الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما عمل ابن آدم من عمل يوم النحر أحب إلى الله من إهراق الدم وإنه ليأتي يوم القيامة بقرونها وأشعارها والله فيها وإن الدمع لا يقع من الله بمكان قبل أن يقع على الأرض فطيبوا بها نفسه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected brothers and elders, depending on the mindset and desire of an individual, when various events come about, his reaction to the time, to the event is different. But by and large, especially us in South Africa, that whenever a certain season comes in, we look for opportunities to capitalize on that to benefit ourselves financially or monetarily. For example, December season is coming in. A person will see that how he can utilize that time, utilize that the atmosphere to capitalize on whatever the people are desiring at that time. People are desiring holidays, people are desiring vehicles, people are desiring to renovate their homes, etc. So accordingly, he will look to capitalize on the opportunity afforded to him at that time. Sometimes it will be a deeni event, an opportunity of deen. Yet, instead, depending on his desire, depending on his thirst, some will look to capitalize on a deeni event financially. They will look to capitalize financially on something of deen. For example, we are now coming to the occasion of Qurbani, to the occasion of Hajj. Those in the travel industry will see that how can they capitalize that people are going for Hajj, people are traveling abroad. How can we capitalize on this? That we can gain financially from this. That we can get a share of the pot that is so to say being distributed at that time. Or with Qurbani, everyone is trying to capitalize on the Qurbani atmosphere that has been created. Which I'm not saying is something that is wrong. But our mindset in comparison to that of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that we look most from by and large, we look to financially benefit ourselves when any occasion comes about. Whether it's a deeni occasion, whether it's a dunyawi occasion, whether it's a worldly occasion that is taking place, we will see that how we can benefit ourselves in this world. But Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, whenever any occasion came about, not just an event, not just an occasion, but merely getting up in the morning, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum would see that how can they benefit in the hereafter? That how can they capitalize on this moment to benefit in the hereafter, in the akhirah, to increase their jannah? That from the time they wake up in the morning, already their focus would be that how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wake up? How can I follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this? Then how, when they go to eat, firstly the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum would look for opportunities to fast as well. If it was a Monday, if it was a Thursday, if it was the 13th, 14th or 15th of the month, they would be having sehri or suhoor. The day would begin with ibadah, with masnoon, du'as, in the sunnah way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it would continue like that throughout the day. They would be seeking for opportunities to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to capitalize in the hereafter, in the akhirah. And likewise, when times like this during the year would come upon them, their mindset would be that now the inheritance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the distribution of the hereafter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now taking place. How can I gain from it? How can I maximize my benefit from it? At this time of the year, alhamdulillah, there are many ways which we can gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the occasion of Hajj. Unfortunately, most of us that are seated here, it is an indication that possibly we will not be going for Hajj this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that next year we will be from amongst those who are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter that a person has been for Hajj in the past, or he has been for Hajj numerous times, or he feels that I'm not in the financial position, or I'm not in the physical position to undertake this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged in the hadith that tabi'u bayn al-hajj wal-umrah, that follow up continuously between Hajj and Umrah. Continuously do one after the other. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالْذُنُوبِ. The advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, firstly, you know, when we say this, when we mention that continuously go for Hajj and Umrah, the first question that would come to a person's mind is that, where is Makkah Mukarramah? Where is Madinah Munawwarah? Can't just book an Uber and go, or jump in a taxi and go, or jump on a bus and go. It's going to cost a large amount of money that to undertake this journey. And unfortunately, with each year coming, it supposedly is out of the reach of the average income-generating household. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately answers that. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالْذُنُوبِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when you go for Hajj, when you go for Umrah, even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging us to undertake these journeys one after the other, as if it is a journey that is easy to undertake, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assures us that not only does it won't it cost us to undertake this journey, but it is a journey that gives back. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الْفَقْرَ وَالْذُنُوبِ. The first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, that these journeys of Hajj and Umrah, what does it obliterate? It obliterates poverty. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that it obliterates sins, it wipes out sins. A person might ask the question again, that how a person spends literally hundreds of thousands of rands for a couple, perhaps half a million rand, if you are being realistic. And he will tell himself that this journey is only the journey of the rich and the wealthy. But once a person does undertake this journey, you will understand that it is not jayb, it is ghaib. It's not how much is in a person's pocket, but it's the unseen invite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brings a person to that house. It is the desire, it is the cry for us. Ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the avenues in ways that we will not even anticipate. Those who have undertaken the journey will understand more clearly that when a person is in Makkah Mukarramah, or in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah more specifically, during the days of Hajj, for us to just create a thirst, inshallah, next year we will all be there, to create a thirst, to bring about the picture of how the journey of Hajj takes place. That you undertake that first journey from Mina to Arafat. That same evening from Arafat, you're walking back to, or taking whatever mode of transport to Muzdalifah, you will spend the night in Muzdalifah. In Mina, you have camps, you have tents. So generally, the people that you are traveling with, the group that you are traveling with, they will be in the same tent as you. Same as Arafat, when you reach Arafat, you will be with the same group, the same company that has taken you. But when it comes to Muzdalifah, if you're getting some sleep, they say it is not a five-star hotel, but it is a million-star hotel. It is a hotel when you're looking at the stars, every single star, you're looking at it. And when you look around you, we are classified, we as South Africans are classified as African non-Arab country. So they will keep us with African non-Arabs. So from Somalia downwards, those African countries which do not speak Arabic are all grouped into one area in Muzdalifah. And when you look around you, then you will understand that this is not a journey of wealth. It's not a journey of health. Wallahi, you look at a person that morning from Muzdalifah, when you're getting up and you're walking towards the first pelting in Mina, you will look around you, and if you give that person a slice of bread, that person will be appreciative. Perhaps that is all he's going to eat for the rest of the day. You give that person one apple, one fruit, how appreciative he is. He's in ruku. He cannot even speak English. He speaks a dialect perhaps that even people from his country will not even know, because he's from such a remote area from his country. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called him there. So have this desire, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. Make this intention that inshallah next year we will undertake that hajj. Like I mentioned, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they continuously looked for avenues in which to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no journey which will become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritually, emotionally, mentally than the journey of hajj. That when you leave Mina, on that first day you walk into Arafah, as far as the eye can see, you will see people walking. Where are they walking? Walillah, walillah. They are walking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for all those of us that are unable to undertake the journey this year, there are other avenues also to gain the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the a'mal during the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. That once the moon is sighted, it is mentioned that out of the month of Ramadan, the most auspicious days and the most beneficial days to gain closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, out of the month of Ramadan. And thereafter, at the end of the 10 days, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Ma amil ibn Adam min amalin yoman nahri ahabba ila Allah min ihraqid dam." That a person does not do it beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the shedding of blood. That is referring to the sacrificial animal. The animal that will be slaughtered on the day of Eid. Again, this is a financial commitment that a person will have to make. Sometimes it might be beyond a person's financial capabilities. He may be able to afford a qurbani abroad. Fair enough, he is able to afford it abroad only. Then he may do so. But as far as possible, at his home, to create the environment of qurbani, to create the environment of sacrifice, that a person should be doing it at his home. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma amil ibn Adam min amil yoma nahri ahabba ila Allah min ihraq al-dam wa innahu la ya'ti yawma al-qiyamah bi quruniha wa ash'ariha wa adlafiha." When you will go and you will choose that animal, keep this hadith in mind. That what you are choosing now, what you are looking at now, understand that that is what will be in itself, in its being, coming on the day of Qiyamah. You are looking at a worldly animal today. فَإِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِقُرُونِهَا وَأَشْعَارِهَا وَأَضْلَافِهَا. You look, find an animal with horns, it will be with those horns, whatever coat it is wearing, it will be on the day of Qiyamah standing in front for you, to assist you, to help you in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ الدَّمَعَ لَيَقَعُ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِمَكَانٍ قَبْلَ أَن يَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. It is a physical action that is taking place. But understand, with the physicality is the act of spirituality, which many of us forget at the time of Qurbani. That the blood, before it reaches the ground, it is already in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَطِيبُوا بِهَا نَفْسَا. If possible, do it yourself. Do it with a happy heart. Understand that it is not just a physical act, but it is a spiritual act. And who is, what's the spirituality behind it? Like I mentioned, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, at every avenue, they tried to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So not only was this the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this was the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam, millata abikum Ibrahim. The spirituality runs in our lineage, not only as a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but as a sunnah of our forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. So before that act is taking place, understand what is the lesson behind Qurbani. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. That strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you ought to strive. Make an effort for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you ought to make an effort. وَجَتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. The mere fact that we are reciters of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is selection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected us to be believers, to recite the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That mere desire to do a good action is selection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. This jihad, making an effort for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. translating jihad as making an effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not manipulation of the translation of the Quran Kareem. But to understand when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Millata abikum Ibrahim, what was the jihad of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam? In the Quran Kareem, you will not find any incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam physically lifting the sword and smiting the enemy. But the jihad of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was different types of qurbani, different types of sacrifice. And what was the sacrifice for? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam that take your wife Hajar alayhi salatu wa salam and your son Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, whom you had made dua for so many years to be granted, something that is extremely beloved to you, wife and child, only son at that time, take them and leave them in a desert. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam lifts his hands, immediately complying with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the jihad of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? What was the qurbani of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam prior to the actual qurbani that leads to the qurbani that we are doing today? رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ That, oh Allah, my family, we are traveling from here to Johannesburg on the N3 in a vehicle. The vehicle breaks down at the dead of night. How frightened are we? How terrified are we that there is not a vehicle in sight? Yet the chances of someone going by is quite probable. Within the next half an hour or so, bare minimum, there will be somebody going by who will be able to assist us. Yet we will be so afraid. Here Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in." In such a valley, which not even the vultures would pass by, because they know that there's not even something which is dead that is there. Let alone something living, there's nothing dead for them to feast on. Not even a blade of grass. Not even a single leaf. بِغَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ What was the objective of this? رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ To be established. Understand. Closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with sacrifice. Sacrifice of that which is beloved to us. Sleep is beloved to us. Sacrifice that for the sake of salah. Make qurbani of our halal. What is permissible for us for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Then my dear brothers, that qurbani, that sacrificial animal, when we are slaughtering it, that closest that we'll feel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That spirituality that we'll feel through our qurbani. That spirituality that we'll feel through the sacrifice. It'll not just be merely money spent and meat being eaten after that. It'll not just be merely a day of celebration. But when we are putting that knife on that animal, understand that, oh Allah, I am doing this to sacrifice. This is a physical act that I'm doing, but I want a spiritual effect from it after that. That this animal is being sacrificed. But those actions which were beloved to me, but not beloved to you, Ya Allah, I am sacrificing that. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was prepared to sacrifice his son to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, that haram that I am involved in, I find benefit in that, but for your sake, Ya Allah, I am prepared to sacrifice that. Ya Allah, I am looking at something which you have not permitted me to look at, that was beloved to me, I will sacrifice that to fulfill your command. Ya Allah, I'm involved in an illicit relationship. You have commanded me to break off that relationship. Ya Allah, I will sacrifice that so that my progenies can enjoy closest to you, so that I can enjoy closest to you. An act of physicality, with it comes a spirituality. Every occasion that comes about should be a means of us gaining closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to benefit in the akhirat. This occasion of qurbani, the occasion of sacrifice should be another such occasion. One is we will make that intention inshallah that we will be looking for an animal if we have the financial means to do so. Even one animal for entire household, if qurbani is not faraz on every person in that household. If qurbani is faraz upon us, if sacrifice is faraz upon us, then inshallah for every person within that household we would sacrifice one animal. When we're looking for an animal as well, keep in mind what I mentioned, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِقُرُونِهَا وَأَشْعَارِهَا, that actual animal, the horns, the hooves, the fur of that animal will be present on the day of Qiyamah. And keep in mind the guidelines of choosing a qurbani animal, one that shouldn't be too young. If it is a goat, less than a year old. If it is a sheep, it may be less than a year old, but it has to be more than 6 months old, but resemble an animal which is approximately a year old. Buy from a person who is reputable, so you will not purchase an underage animal. If you're purchasing an ox, the ox should be, or purchasing a share in the ox, should ensure that every person who's purchasing that share is purchasing the share with the intention of qurbani, and that the shares are distributed equally. There are many masail, just to cover a few, but keep in mind all the masail, research it before purchasing that animal, and understand it's not just a physical act, but it is a spiritual act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.